Welcome to Photo Mission Focus Discussing Photography. Hi, I'm Steve Finkel. On this episode of Focus, I'm flying solo. On this episode of Focus, I wanted to talk about a story I heard today about a photographer who waited 3 years to get a particular shot. And a lot of planning, and there was a lot of, planning with getting things into position and that type of stuff, and finally got the shot after 3 years. But when a lot of people, like I showed that picture, that photographer talked to a number of people, and people go, oh yeah, nice photoshopping work. Has the integrity of photographs just gone so far south now that people don't believe anything at all? Because like I said, putting 3 years planning into to getting a shot, and then to get the shot, and then for people not to believe it's a real shot, like believing that you've just kind of created it with AI or Photoshop. So it got me thinking about the integrity of a photograph and where it's going to head to in the future. And look, I know there's always, we've talked so much about it on Focus, AI and deep fakes and chatbots and a whole range of different things, where the worry is obviously with, for some countries now, like within their, when they're having a political race, that someone's going to put out a deep fake video of someone doing something they shouldn't be doing, and then people are going to see it and they're going to just going to naturally believe that it actually really happened and it's really true. So it makes it really difficult now, I think, anything you see on the internet or anything you see on social media, to actually believe it's actually real. Like, so, and it's kind of sad. I think it's a sad thing for photography, because once upon a time, if someone took 3 years to plan a shot and then pulled off an amazing shot, showed it to people, people were kind of celebrating that shot with that photographer, saying, yeah, well done, you did the hard yards and you got the shot. And it's interesting now that I think someone can do that. They can put all that planning, they can put all those, you know, hours of preparation and all that stuff together to get the shot, and then for the shot not to be actually believed, to be an actual photograph that you took. And I know there's things that have been kind of happening, I suppose, in one of the phone manufacturers have this feature where they took a, showing you zooming in on the moon, and they're taking a picture of the moon, and you get this amazing picture of the moon taken with the phone. We all know with camera phones, it's very difficult to actually take a clear moonshot. And if you've ever tried it, quite often you end up with just a white ball in the sky that doesn't really say too much. And then it was, you know, what was turned out to be is that the picture was actually fake, that the phone was actually faking the picture. There was actually creating this picture of the moon based on an AI generation of what the moon should look like. So it was, for someone taking the photo, thought, oh, what an amazing camera in this phone, because it's being able to take this amazing photo of the moon, and it's not really a photo. And I think once people found out, they felt quite cheated, because obviously they thought they were getting something that was doing something, but it wasn't. And I think the temptation for manufacturers and marketers and all those types of people is to exploit and use technology to say something about a product or say something about something that's not entirely true, but actually make it look better than it actually really is. So people are actually kind of swayed to buy that product, or they're swayed to use that particular service or whatever. There's so many videos on the internet of people showing these machines that they've rigged up, and they put together, and they've got a light bulb, and they spin a wheel and it starts spinning and it's making all this amazing power. The laws of physics just doesn't allow that to happen. Like, it just won't work. But interestingly enough, these videos just keep coming and coming and coming, because people just make them because there's obviously an audience that people want to believe this stuff, or it entertains, I don't know whether it just entertains people or what. I look at it and I'm just looking at, thinking about all the mechanical side and all the physics about it, that this can't possibly work. You can't actually make this thing create more energy than you're actually putting into it. It just hasn't, technology, if it's ever going to exist, doesn't exist at the moment. But again, people make these videos and they just seem to pop up everywhere on the internet. And I think the same thing, like I said, with photographs, is that there's, you know, people are starting to question, I think, more and more now when they see photos about how legitimate that photograph is. And I think, like I said, it's a sad day for photography when people take a photograph and, like I said, put a lot of blood, sweat and tears, and not really be able to get the recognition of their skills and planning to actually get that photograph. And I think this is the future where we live. This is how I think everything's going to be moving forward. People just can make claims and they can back it up with what appears to be evidence, but it can just be fabricated. And again, that's going to make it really, for anyone who, I suppose, any person out there who wants to deceive someone with the current lot of technology, the technology makes it so easy for a scammer to deceive people. And I think we're going to see more and more of this happening. I mean, it's interesting because a lot of the crime and that happens now is all cyber crime. A lot of the crime's happening online where people are getting people's, bank account information, or they're advertising a product which, like through a video where it's actually too good to be true and people are buying it. I saw one there where, this tiny little heater, you plug it in and it uses, very small amount of electricity, but can heat a whole room instantly. And like, it's just defies the laws of physics that something that small using that small amount of power can't produce enough energy to heat a whole room. And they put these things and they sell them and they get this kind of product that just doesn't perform the way it's meant to. It's just very, very basic. And I remember reading on one of those particular ones where someone bought one and just said the thing was just really just absolutely useless. It didn't even heat up properly. Like, it did nothing. And again, the claims are amazing. Like, the video showing it operating and heating the room with putting a thermometer here and seeing how quickly the temperature rises and all that type of stuff. And again, it's so convincing. And I think this is the power of photography and particularly the power of video. I think video is such a powerful medium to actually show someone an idea and get them to believe the idea. It's like, and that's why, why have movies survived? Like, why have movies been so popular? Because when, movies first started, people went there and got this, watched this movie and they had this amazing piece of entertainment where it actually showed them something that they wouldn't normally see. And I think that was the allure. And again, so it's great because you can actually use it purely from an entertainment point of view and be able to tell great stories and those types of things. But again, it's like everything's a double-edged sword, I think, when it comes to technology. Anytime technology advances in a particular way, with the fundamental, purpose of that technology is to enhance humankind, unfortunately, there's always a kind of a negative side there that people can twist it around and use it for a purpose it wasn't really intended to, but they can use it to deceive people or they can use it to, scam people. And again, I think it's kind of sad to think that's the world we're living in, but I think we have to all kind of, I don't know how we move forward really. You got to keep a clear mind that someone shows you a photograph and they say, look, I've created this amazing photograph, I've put all this effort into it. Is your default to believe that straight away? Or do you kind of go, well, I wonder if they did do it, or maybe they did? And again, like I said, once upon a time, I would never question a photograph. If someone showed me something, they said, look, I've created this photo and it's an amazing photo, you just take it at the value of what you're seeing is and believing that person to tell you it's true that they created it and it's real. But again, like I said, the world has changed so much. And I think the speed that it's changing is the other thing, which is really, I suppose that's a really, part that. And I think people saw the change coming this quickly. And I think we know what's happened with social media. Social media have come in and now we've got a whole generation that's grown up with social media. And we now know that some of the challenges that's presented for people, because sometimes those people have kind of trouble dealing with real life. They want to live in a virtual world rather than the real world. And I know in some places now there's calls for certain types of social media to be banned for people under 14. There's some countries are trying to move forward to implement these types of bans, saying it's not good for people to be kind of immersed in that kind of world of fakery and make-believe until they kind of, I suppose, get a little bit older and can kind of hopefully make some decisions and realize that not everything you see on the internet is real. And I think, now a large part of what you see on the internet is completely false. So again, it's a very hard thing to be able to actually work out what's real and what's not real. And like I said, that's a real challenge for, if your craft is photography and you want to continue to grow your craft and you want to continue to create amazing pictures, I suppose you've got to be prepared at some point that when you're showing those pictures and, sharing those pictures, that you're going to cop some type of pushback or blowback, saying that people are saying, oh yeah, nice Photoshop, or you know, nice way AI generated that background for you or whatever. And I think it's kind of, I think we all have to kind of develop a bit of a thick skin when it comes to that, because I think the important thing is, I suppose, if you know you created the picture and you know how that picture was created, you know the truth. And I think that's a comforting factor, is even though other people mightn't believe your truth, that if you know that to be true and you know that that's how that image came about, then again, I think that's something we just have to kind of, as photographers, we have to kind of deal with, just be able to believe what we know. And then instead of people believe it, that's fantastic. If people don't want to believe it and they want to think it's been created by other means, that's their prerogative and it's their opinion of that photograph. So again, it just has to be, I think we have to be kind of not get, I suppose, too caught up in when someone thinks it's fake, that you have to really defend it to the nth degree. Because I think the more you try and defend something sometimes in that situation, it can appear like you're trying to, you know, you're trying to cover something up, you're trying to hide something. So sometimes the best defense may be just to kind of say, well, so if you believe that's how it was created, that's your belief, but I actually know the truth and I actually know how that image was actually created and I know the effort that went into creating that image. So again, it's interesting times we live in as photographers and creatives, because like I said, we're going to see this, I suppose, the world around us keep changing and the values. And I suppose that's really, you know, what I'm really talking about is the value of a photograph and how it's changed and it's going to continue to change. And I know, look, you know, we've talked about different ways that people can try and maintain that value within a photograph, and I think it's going to get harder and harder. But I think, you know, again, believe what you know to be true, and that's, you know, like I said, that part of it, you know, it's completely true because you've created it. But then again, if other people don't believe it, then I think we just kind of have to move on and not get kind of, I suppose, pulled down by that, because I can just see people being kind of cut down and shut down and potentially walk away from something that they love doing because people think it's fake. So again, yeah, so something to ponder on, something to think of about with your own photography. And again, like I said, if you've created an amazing shot, people aren't believing that you created it. I mean, you know yourself that you created it and you know the truth behind it. So we're coming up to a time of the year too, like we're coming up to Easter. So Easter, from a lot of people, Easter is typically a break for a lot of people where they actually have a holiday. In Australia here, typically a lot of people have 4 days off. So they have Good Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Easter Monday. In Australia, it's a big time when people go camping and travel away with the family and that type of stuff. And it's but think about it this way. It's also a great time to, if you've kind of been, I suppose, not doing much photography lately, it's a good time to be able to, you know, if you're not working, it's a good time to be able to plan to do some photography and, you know, do something, get out with your camera if you haven't been out for a while, to be able to go out and shoot some stuff. I mean, I'm planning to shoot a few different things on the weekend because it gives me time. I've been, you know, the last few weeks at work, it's been absolutely really, really busy. So I really haven't been able to do much photography for myself. So it's going to be great to be able to use those 4 days to just do some photography just for me and not have to worry about doing it for work or having those commitments, because I'm pretty lucky that I have actually got 4 days off and I can actually do that, which is great. And I'm really looking forward to getting out and using the camera and, like I said, just creating some stuff. And again, it's just a good time, I think, if you haven't been out with the camera for a while, it's a good excuse to get out there and do it. The other thing too is, I mean, it's a good time too, I think, if you want to do something around a theme. You know, most houses are going to have, you know, Easter eggs or something like that lying around, that sometimes, you know, you can use these things to create some great still life, which tells something about the weekend. I'm using, like I said, Easter eggs and that type of thing. In the past, I've made, you know, once upon a time, and it was when I had, I suppose, when I had more time to do it, because they do take quite a long time to create, but I created a lot of stop-start videos using Easter eggs, doing all various different things like deconstructing an Easter egg, like breaking into pieces and photographing that process of it's breaking down, and then basically assembling those images in reverse, so it actually looks like the Easter egg is just building itself up and wrapping itself back up and that type of thing, and kind of makes some cool things. So there's some cool stuff you can do with, I suppose, just playing around with something that's kind of seasonal. And some of the things I've looked years ago, like I said, I was always kind of trying to do something different with Easter eggs. One of the things I did, which gave a really good effect, was I put an Easter egg in the chocolate Easter egg in the freezer and froze, like got it really, really cold. Then I set up a camera with a slow-mo video and dropped that Easter egg from a height into the frame. So when it hit, and I dropped it onto like a concrete area, and when that egg hit it, it just shattered into hundreds of pieces and little pieces are flying through the air. It made a pretty cool video. So there's an idea if you want to try and muck around, if you kind of like using slow-mo on your phone. And most phones actually do quite a good slow-mo function. And again, that was just something I wanted to do because I knew that if I just dropped an Easter egg, chocolate Easter egg, it's just going to kind of probably go out of shape, maybe crack a little bit, not do too much. But by freezing the Easter egg, made sure that when it fell and hit the ground, it just shattered basically, which gave a really cool effect. So there's something, like I said, and the other thing I've done is, you know, with stop-start videos around Easter, you know, just having Easter eggs moving around, doing things. If you haven't done a stop-start video, there's plenty of like online tutorials to do that. Have a look online, just see what's out there. And basically, you know, for the people who may not know what a stop-start video is, it's basically where you set the camera up and the camera is usually locked off. So the camera is usually on a tripod and you don't move the camera. It just sits there and you put something in front of the camera and you take a frame. Then you move that very slightly and you take another frame and you keep moving it very ever so slightly. And each time you take a picture, object is in a different part of the frame. And when you play those frames together like a video, so you bring them into a program, and most programs will allow you to bring still images in, and then you can set up like a time delay between each image, and you might just work out how fast you want to have those images change, and it gives the appearance that the object that you're been photographing is moving. It takes a long time to actually like create a minute video with stop-start video because you've got to create a lot of frames, and you've got to be kind of realistic with the movements too. Like you don't want to have the object move too far each time. You want it kind of a gentle transition of a like an Easter egg rolling around the table. You know, it needs to be turned a very slight amount. Photograph, turn it a very slight amount, and again, just do it. A couple of tips you can do, which I found really useful when you're doing this type of stuff, like you're doing stop-start video and particularly with Easter eggs, is if you're doing them on a table and you've set the camera up, what I'll typically do on the table is I'll get some tape, typically just white tape, and I'll tape off the area just outside the frame so I know my boundaries of where my camera's framed up to. So I know if I roll the Easter egg too far this way, it's actually going to go out of frame. Like I said, the tape is out of frame, so it's not shown in the pictures. But it just gives you an indication because sometimes it's very hard. You get excited, you're rolling the Easter egg around, you have it doing stuff, and then you only find that part of that sequence is actually ended up outside the frame and doesn't really look really good. So again, little tip that I've done because I've made quite a few of them over the years. And like I said, it's a fun thing to do with Easter eggs. So again, if you're looking for something like a project to do that's something different, maybe. And again, it is about photography. And the other thing I'll say too about if you decide to do a stop-start video of Easter eggs, a couple of things you want to do is you want to make sure that the area where you're doing it, the lighting is constant. So window lighting's not ideal because window lighting can change over the course of shooting because you might be shooting for an hour or two of frame. So everything, you know, if the light's changing outside, it's going to be really noticeable within between each frame. So typically I will, you know, set the white balance to a constant and I would then try and make sure the lighting that was there was going to be constant as well. It wasn't going to change over the course of the time that I'm actually doing it. The other thing to be mindful of is when you're doing stop-start video like that, where the light source might be coming from, is you've just got to be mindful of your own shadow. Typically I use a wireless trigger so I can actually stand back from the camera because sometimes, you know, if you're the clothes that you're wearing can reflect light in a particular way. If you stand at this side of the camera when you take the picture, then you stand on the other side, next picture. I've had some kind of, I suppose, experiences where some of that, because I've been in different spots, that it's actually I've cast a shadow or I've cast a color cast in a particular part of the frame. So again, just things to be mindful of. And it's just, it is a fun way to do photography. And the other thing you can do is, typically I just shoot small JPEG. You don't need a huge file. You just shoot like small JPEG images and hopefully you can use them straight out of camera that way if you get your exposures right. And the other thing is if you do need to play around and brighten them up, if you did have to lighten them up or do something, you can always take them into something like Lightroom and do a batch edit so it applies the same edit across all those frames because you want them to be uniform. And just remember to think outside the square. If you're trying to do something where you're trying to like deassemble something and make it look like it's actually being building itself up, just remember you've got to shoot it in reverse. So you basically, I did one of cooking an Easter egg. So, and I'll take you through the process of that just so, you know, I put a pan on the stove. I started off by putting a pile of brown sugar in the pan to simulate that is the Easter egg kind of material that's going to cook. And what I did is I actually put a pan on the stove. I put a chocolate Easter egg in it and I turned the stove on, heat it up, and the egg melted down and just went out of shape until it was just a mass in the pan. But I constantly was photographing that at a very regular interval. So as the egg was getting kind of melted and distorted and going out of shape, I was capturing all those frames. So when I was able to play it back, I had it so that the egg is just this pile of, so, and then I substituted, and like I said, a couple of frames before that, I just simply put like a pile of brown sugar and I kind of moved it around a few times to make it look like it was doing something. And then it becomes that molten chocolate mass. And then from that chocolate mass, the Easter egg starts to grow back up again. And again, you can create this really, really cool effect. So just something to think outside the box. And maybe, like I said, it's a little project you can actually try and do over the 4 days. It just gives you something else. And I'm sure if that's not your thing, there'd be something else that you can tackle. And again, like still life, if you haven't tried still life and flat lay and that type of stuff, again, you can set up some Easter themed flat lays and photograph them as well. And very easy to do. And in particular, I don't know what it is, but quite often Easter quite often brings out some rainy weather in some parts of Australia. We've been copping a fair bit of rain up in Queensland for the last week. So you can expect that probably be a few wet days. So these are good activities to do, obviously, too, when you can't physically get out of your camera and go to your favourite spot to shoot. You can always do something inside. Yeah, so I hope this got you thinking about the integrity of photographs and, I suppose, thinking about that aspect of photography and how all of us as photographers are going to have to manage that moving forward. We're all going to have to deal with it, and we're all going to have different situations that we're going to be put in where people aren't going to believe what we've taken. Again, I've kind of get to a point where you get that thick skin where you can kind of take that. When people don't believe it, that's fine. They don't believe it, that's their choice. I know what's happened. I know the reality of it. And like, again, you're not going to convince everybody every time. And moving forward, I think it's going to get harder and harder. But look, enjoy your photography. Enjoy, have a safe Easter. If you're traveling or whatever you're doing, have a safe Easter. And like I said, maybe just try something different and have some fun. And until next time, I've been Steve Winkle, Photovision Focus, discussing photography. We'll talk again real soon. See ya.